I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest today, Ron Martin, received his baccalaureate and master's degree in food science and nutrition from Chapman University in Orange, California. He worked for more than 35 years in the nutraceutical and food industries, including Hunt, Wesson, Conagra Plus Products, the William T. Thomas Company, and the Nutrilite division of Altacar, where he served as senior research scientist in Nutrilite's New Concepts Group. Ron has been a professional member of the Institute of Food Technology and is president of Nutrigenics Unlimited Incorporated, which he founded in 2007. He is also one of the founding members of the International Society of Nutrigenetics, Nutrigenomes at www.nutritionandgenetics.org. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ron, and I look forward to hearing about nutrigenetics. The word nutrigenetics may not be familiar to many people, and can you explain what the word means?
Thank you, Carl, very much for the opportunity to chat with you today, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity now to share a little bit of what I know with you, but also with your audience. And nutrigenetics is actually a combination of two words, nutrition and genetics. And so that, so it's just actually merged those two. And some people think it's actually a trade name, but it's not. It's just, it's a bona fide scientific word. So there's another word that's similar. It's called nutrigenomics. Mm-hmm. And for most people, they actually, you can consider them to be synonyms, although we could go ahead and elaborate on the distinction, but I don't think we need to do that today.
Okay. Is your database limited to nutrition?
Actually, no. What we do is we actually go to the National Library of Medicine's database. They have a database where you can search it like a Google search, but they have so many articles that it's tough to find what you're looking for because the results that you get are so numerous that you really don't have time to go through it all. So what we've done is we've actually created our own database that makes it a lot easier to look for things not only on nutrition, but for numerous health topics. And I can give you some examples of those health topics or health conditions, but also for genes and also for gene mutations that are rare or for common gene variants that are sometimes called polymorphisms or SNPs. But those are the common gene variants that might be like what makes one person have blue eyes and another person have brown eyes. It doesn't really affect their health at all, or at least not very much. And so those are the common variants. So we try to list all of those things. And by doing so, we can actually allow people to discover things that they would never be able to discover without that kind of database assistance. For instance, just some of the health conditions that our database has covered is cancer, which we call neoplasms. We've got more than 300,000 articles on neoplasms and genetics. And so that just illustrates why it's so necessary to have some kind of computer assistance for wading through hundreds of thousands of articles. And then, of course, the second most popular topic that's in our database is cardiovascular diseases as a broad category, which would include atherosclerosis and many of the other conditions, including myocardial infarction or heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. But then beyond that, inflammation, diabetes, obesity has more than 50,000 articles. Mental health has more than 50,000 articles, Alzheimer's disease, and et cetera. The list is very long, very long.
And do most of the ones that are in the cancer, cardiovascular, genetic categories, do they also then refer to nutrition?
In fact, nutrition is a rather broad topic that can apply to even things like spices that you consume, mm-hmm. like ginger or garlic and turmeric and things like that. So whenever an article in our database talks about those, what you might call auxiliary items, we will index being relevant to nutrition. But if you try to search for nutrition without that kind of a indexing help, then you are only going to find the articles that specifically say nutrition. But our database is constructed in such a fashion that it allows you to catch them. And because of that, the broadest category in its broadest sense for nutrition is one of our most commonly mentioned potential risk modifiers, things that can be helpful. For instance, if you overindulge in something or if you don't get enough of something, either case, nutrition is at near or at the very top of the list of things that you can do that could be helpful or harmful.
Are you familiar with Sandra Goodman's Positive Health website?
I am not.
It's a huge website on research and articles on just about any health issue you can think of. So I always like to, if we're talking about something, bring that up so that the listeners can also remember to go and take a look at that one. They're broken down like cancer, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, etc. But she'll have then a lot of articles under or research under each category. So it's another database that is very useful.
Thank you for mentioning that. But also I want to point out that the database that we have at nutrigenetics.net is entirely and exclusively articles that the National Library of Medicine has, but we add the extra effort to make it more useful. So, whereas other databases, they may refer to other, you know, books and other kinds of things that perhaps are not in the National Library of Medicine's database.
Great. Thank you. Then, Ron, why did you become so interested and passionate about genetics and nutrition?
Well, Carl, as you know, I spent most of my career earlier in my life working in large food companies, or especially in dietary supplement companies. I was actually started off in manufacturing, but then moved into product development and R&D, and I became really interested in the literature. So I went to the UCLA Biomedical Library, since I lived down near Los Angeles, and started collecting articles on a extensive basis and back in the 80s. And what I noticed was that some people responded very nicely to dietary supplements, just as predicted, but other people did not respond at all. And so there was such a large discrepancy between those who did respond and those who did not respond that the standard deviation for the statistics showed that it was not statistically significant. So then they concluded that the supplements didn't work. But in fact, it worked beautifully for some, just that it didn't work for everyone. So I was always curious as to why. So then back in 2002, which was the year after the Human Genome Project was announced, their first draft, I actually went to the first international conference on nutrition and genetics that was held in the Netherlands. And at that conference, they explained that genetics can be responsible for a large portion of those discrepancies. And so I became quite fascinated. And then the following year, in 2003, I went back to the second conference. And having listened to more detail, I was convinced at that point that genetics could explain a lot of why some people respond well and other people don't respond, or why some people can smoke all their lives and not get lung cancer, and other people might get lung cancer without even smoking at all. So then when I looked into it, I said, wow, this affects not only our physical health, but also our emotional health, which then affects our outlook on life. So it's really a broad range of factors that our genetics can influence in a holistic fashion, body, mind, and spirit. So that's really why I'm so passionate about it. But also, I can tell you the momentum is continually building, as we'll discuss as we go along.
Great. Good. Then, Ron, genetics is highly technical. So how can members of the public benefit from what you're doing?
Well, it's kind of interesting. In fact, if someone visits my website at nutrigenetics.net, they'll see three red buttons. One says researcher, one says professional, one says public. So if someone is a member of the public and they click on the public button, we'll show some examples of interesting articles that have been appearing that are on topics that they might be able to relate to, such as sports performance, or stress, or autism, or even dental caries for their children. There's all kinds of things that our genetics can influence. Now, you say, well, okay, well, if someone is a member of the public and they're not well-versed in this, how can that be useful? Well, number one, it might actually prompt you or anybody who's looking at it to dig deeper and learn more so that they can become more acquainted. But also, it might then generate questions that you can give to your healthcare providers. Because a lot of times, healthcare providers are too busy to really look into these more detailed things themselves. I know when I asked my own personal physician if he was interested in genetics, he said, no, but it's the future. And so by asking him to help me with getting my own genes tested, I needed to get a doctor's permission so they could send the results to the doctor. So he agreed to do that. And by this kind of interaction, he actually is now more familiar with it than he was before. So little by little, we're working both ends. We're helping the researchers, and we're helping the public, and the physicians in the middle, the ones who are not already using genetics, they are eventually getting warmed up to it. So it's really quite exciting, and that's why it's so important to talk to everyone, not just the elites, about this kind of stuff.
Ryan, you mentioned testing. Are there tests, genetic tests, that will help an individual determine if they need to make changes in their nutrition or in their lifestyle to prevent certain outcomes?
There's a wide variety of testing options. In fact, there are quite a few different companies that are offering genetic testing for different things. For instance, if they're interested in sports, they might say, we can test you for the sports-related items, whether it be sports performance or sports injuries, that type of thing. Or if someone says, well, we have a testing panel of the things that we look for that's related to obesity. So if you want to find out about that, we can test you and give you your results. So there's a lot of this kind of stuff, even things for cardiovascular disease or hereditary cancers, et cetera, et cetera. But I can tell you that I do not have any relationship with any genetic testing company. So I hesitate to endorse one, but I can tell you that I think a good bargain is 23andMe, because they'll test for almost a million things, or well over half a million things, for just a couple hundred bucks. So it's a pretty good bargain in my mind. Although I went ahead and had my testing done also for my complete genome, which required my personal physician to receive the results. So I did that, and it costs a lot more. But by instead of only getting a half a million or a million results, I got 2.9 billion results. And so economically, the scale there was in my favor. So I was able to get a million results for $1. But I had to pay $2,900 for 2,900 million results. But still, that's a good deal. Pretty good deal.
Right. I think that they got in trouble a few years back, if I remember, over a specific test. And I think it had to do with maybe vitamin B12 or something, methyl something or other. They used to do it for everyone, and then I think they had to stop doing it for the public and only could do it if someone were referred by their physician, if I remember the details right.
I know that the Food Administration did want 23andMe to stop talking about how their genetic test might be interpreted for health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, they got the green light to start talking about it again.
Oh, they
but
did.
Whether it's, mm-hmm. But whether, to what extent you know that goes, I'm not sure. But I would say that that is really a bargain in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you don't have genetic testing, the fact that you are aware of genetic testing can be useful is something that you can still talk to your physician about. Because if you say to him or her, hey, doc, have you considered testing me genetically to see if I'm going to have a good response
mm-hmm.
to your prescribing? He might think, well, maybe I should. Oh, do you really want to be tested? Okay, well, let's do it. So this is one of the reasons that's so useful to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that the amount of research that's coming out is just staggering. There's about 200 articles coming out every day for, on average for the last 19 and a half years since I've been tracking this stuff
mm-hmm.
On genetics and health. And that adds up. I've got like 1.4 million articles that we've identified as being relevant to genetics and health, either for humans or for model systems
mm-hmm.
that might be relevant. Yeah.
Now, so I understand and so the public understand. Am I correct in assuming then that there, you mentioned sports injuries. So is there a test that will pick up people that are more likely to have sport injuries? And then are there things that they can do to prevent that?
A lot of it has, well, first of all, I cannot answer that authoritatively,
mm-hmm.
But my impression is, from the research I've seen, is that yes, there is mm-hmm. the ability to find vulnerabilities. The odds mm-hmm. are higher for certain people,
mm-hmm.
and so they can actually change the training regimen so that they don't stress, like for instance, the Achilles tendon
mm-hmm.
So much. They might be able to avoid these kinds of injuries or knee injuries, et cetera, that can, if it's taken into account, they can be more careful about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. And what
sure.
members of the public are most likely to benefit from this database?
Well, I would say that it's kind of interesting. As I mentioned, the public can benefit because they need to be aware, and actually they need to participate in the whole thing. Because if you have a passive patient who doesn't really pay attention to what's going on, They're much less likely to be a good patient. But and also, a physician only has minutes to spend with any particular one patient.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas public, especially if they have a condition that's bothering them, they can spend lots of time researching it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, in order to research it ourselves, we have to start slowly, and it takes time to develop our familiarity with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like learning a new language. Let's say your native language is English and you want to learn Spanish, it takes time and effort to learn word by word.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, as you build your vocabulary, you might actually become proficient and maybe even fluent at some point just by exercising this skill.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true also of genetics. We just have to go through the unfamiliarity period and then build our familiarity to the point where we can actually become excited about it,
mm-hmm.
and then where we can actually use it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a book that was written a few years ago by Angela Duckworth called Grit, and the whole idea there is to be persistent into something and not just touch on it lightly to where it just fades away,
mm-hmm.
whether that be a athletic skill or whether it be a musical skill, or learning language, or learning something like the language of math. You have to build your skills systematically and consistently over a pretty good period of time until you can actually become really excited about it and make a difference in someone's life,
mm-hmm.
whether that be someone else's life or whether it be in your own life. In any case, it takes that concerted effort that can make the big difference. So that's how it is that we can move forward. But actually, students could are the ones that are really the ones that are going to learn, okay? Now, you might say, oh, okay, university students, well, that's not me. Well, actually, even high school students can get excited about this kind of stuff because a lot of times high school students are looking for something to be excited about.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of thinking, oh, the traditional professions don't really light my fire, so to speak. They don't really get me passionate. I can't get excited about being a dentist or being a lawyer, et cetera, et cetera. But if they talk about, wow, would you be interested in learning about how genes can enhance your life at every stage, not only your physical health, but your emotional well-being? Would you be interested in that? And if they say yes, tell me more, then that's a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
But students also need to interact with their educators. If the educators don't know much about genetics, then educators can learn from this stuff too. And, you know, there are certain educators who are already experts on genetics, but there are a lot of educators that don't know much about genetics at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, journalists need to try to weigh the emerging research. One of the reasons they hardly talk about it is because there's so much research, they don't know whether this new research report is noteworthy or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so having a resource like our database really allows them to kind of weigh it and see if how it compares with other things that are being said, see if it's consistent or novel, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, companies can utilize this too, because there could be a service or a product that could be offered to the public that could be beneficial to everyone. And then, of course, the whole reason that researchers research and that health professionals practice is to help the public. So it's all about the public, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big circle. There's no one who's not a member of the public or trying to help members of the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're trying to do. Now, one of the ways that a casual person with a casual interest can benefit is that they can just go and look at my homepage, click on that public link, and browse. And if you log in, which is free on Saturdays and Sundays, they can browse hundreds and hundreds of really eye-popping, high-interest articles on all kinds of things that are relevant to life generally.
Mm-hmm.
And then that might motivate them to carry the conversation forward on a wider level, whether it be with their healthcare practitioner or with their family members or others who are maybe suffering from something that they ran across a good article about. And it's just a way to really stimulate interests.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that when I was first starting in my career, my first area of interest was business. And then my second area that I became interested in was chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became interested in food science and nutrition. And then I became interested in databases and spent a lot of time building my database skills. And it was the combination of all those things I've just mentioned
mm-hmm.
that allowed me to get into genetics. Because mm-hmm. if I didn't have database skills, I couldn't have gotten into the genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think that if someone says, well, I already have a profession, I don't want to get into something new. Well, actually, we should be cultivating new skills as we go along because you never know when they're going to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's how it is that everyone really can benefit from this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And do genetics determine the future?
Well, I heard of a case of a genetics researcher, one of the old-timers that did some of the groundbreaking research, who was going to be tested more thoroughly for his genes that might reveal whether or not he had a risk for Alzheimer's. So he said, if I have a risk for Alzheimer's, don't tell me because I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was already rather elderly, so I can understand his perspective. But actually, for young people, sometimes we think, oh, don't tell me my future, I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we can change our future. It's like playing a game of cards, and you're dealt a hand. If you have a good hand, great. But if you're dealt a not-so-good hand, that doesn't mean you can't win the jackpot, even with a bad hand, depending on how you play your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just genes. It's how our genes are also influenced by the things we do. The foods we eat, the drugs we take, whether we exercise or not, whether we have stress or not, whether we are getting sufficient sleep or not. And so we might be able to have a disadvantageous set of genes, but compensate for it. And if we knew that in advance, we could start that compensation earlier in our lives rather than indulging in things that might be particularly bad for us in our particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why we should not consider genetics as being our future, you know, determining our future. It's not. So, well, first of all, there is this classic debate. Is it nature or nurture? Is it our genes or is it our environment? But the truth is that it's a combination of both, and they influence each other. And so it's not a matter of nature versus nurture. It's a mm-hmm. matter of nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
So we should, clearly we can find out what our genes are and what our genetic predispositions might be, the easier it is for us to figure out a way to compensate for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really the way to go in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think that we go in cycles, so that at one point in my life, genetics were very important, and then at another period, lifestyle was very important. And then we go back to genetics, and then we go back to lifestyle. And there have been few people that have really put these two things together, but one of them was my mentor or my faculty person when I was at Johns Hopkins in the School of Public Health. And I think that what public health does is their epidemiological focus looks at what are all the causes of disease, and they pick this one and they pick that one and they start putting all of these things together. And then the next thing is, well, you end up with a person that's got the disease. So what's the next thing you do to prevent that? So how do you manipulate these factors that are discovered through epidemiology to prevent the disease? And my advisor was internationally known for his work with preventing mental disorders, and he was considered the father of mental health in public health. So one of the things that he talked about was phenylketonuria, which was a genetic defect, and this was back in the 60s, and it's related to a deficiency of an enzyme that controls a certain protein, and if that enzyme is absent, there's a tremendous increase of that protein in the blood, and this can lead to mental deficiency. But if you control that protein in the diet, you can prevent mental deficiency. So that was an example of some of the things that they were looking at and trying to put the pieces together and then to go into prevention. And so that was a period where I think, at least in public health, they were trying to put the whole thing together, the environment plus the genetic piece. But I don't think that's been done in a lot of disciplines over the years.
That's right. In fact, most people would probably recognize that health condition that you mentioned mm-hmm. as PKU.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, prevention of the mental deficiency, that's such an important factor. In fact, a lot of physicians know about treatment of genetic disorders,
mm-hmm.
but not a lot have studied prevention for things like cardiovascular disease, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so prevention is really where some of the big opportunities lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and for instance, among the genetic-related disorders, Alzheimer's disease is an important one because there's not a highly effective treatment. But we can actually reduce the risk of developing this disorder if we change lifestyle. For instance, people who might emphasize prevention having to do with exercise or dietary fats like the omega-3 fatty acids or taking certain drugs that might be beneficial if they're taken earlier in their life, like statins that reduce cholesterol, or things like resveratrol, which is a dietary supplement, or fruit intake, which contains a variety of botanical constituents that can be helpful. So there's a lot of things there that that we can do. Even if we can't treat it, we might be able to prevent it. So that's that's really the and interest in that area is climbing. And it has to, because we're going to have more and more people now who are getting up in the years, and they're going to be suffering from these kinds of conditions that if we can mitigate it, if we can alleviate it, man, that's going to be so important and have a high impact on our society.
Right. Now, I would like to mention a physician that I interviewed about a year ago who has a cure for Alzheimer's. And I don't think he's gotten a lot into the prevention yet. Maybe he has. But at least at the time I interviewed him, he had discovered that there were actually three types of Alzheimer's that occur at different age levels, have different symptoms and different treatments. And what he has done is taught other doctors to use his protocol so that they could help more people. And at the time I interviewed him, he had 600 people, 600 physicians worldwide that he had taught how to use the protocol to cure Alzheimer's. And the day after I interviewed him, I saw him on Dr. Oz with three of his patients, and one of the women said that when he found her, her memory was so bad that she couldn't remember which side of the road to drive on, so she had a note on her dashboard that said to drive on the right side of the road. And I thought, well, that woman shouldn't even have been out there. But she said that as a result of this protocol, she was able to think better than she had thought for many, many, many years. So I wanted to just mention, and it's Dr. Dale Bredesen, just mention his name so that if someone is listening and has Alzheimer's and missed the interview, they can be alerted to at least look up his protocol and look up and see if there's a doctor close to where they live that might be able to help them with it. There was I have a friend in Germany who has Alzheimer's, and I, through his website, I was able to find a doctor in Switzerland that treated using his protocol. There was none in Germany at that time. So it's important information for those who are suffering from this, because it is so common, and as you say, it's so important right now.
Can they find that interview on your website?
Yes, right. Yep. If people just look at, there's a search engine on the right, on it's the holistichealthshow.com, and then look under the blog, and there's a search engine, and if they put Dr. Dale Bredesen in, they will pull up the interview with him.
Very good. And speaking of websites, for anyone who wants to visit the database that I've developed, which is free on Saturdays and Sundays, U.S. Pacific time, you can find it at nutrigenetics.net. That's NutriGenetics, all one word, .net. Or if that's a little tough to remember, if you're not familiar with that, you can type in nutritionandgenetics, all one word, .net, and it'll take you there as an alias. And it's free on weekends.
And Ron, what about people that want to subscribe to use it more? Can you tell us a bit about the details?
For instance, if you had a little project you were working on and you wanted to work on that project for a month, for $12, you can get 1 month access. Or for $48, you can get a year's access. So this is really beneficial for healthcare practitioners who want to be able to use our database to confer with it during the week while they're actually working with their clients or patients.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, because it's free on weekends for everyone around the world via U.S. time, that actually is a way for us to help even the underprivileged who might be in a third world country who have to go to a public library to use the database. Mm-hmm. They can do it.
Mm-hmm. I think that the nutrition is so important right now, Ron, because people are using the ketogenic diet, for example, for cancer. People are using the paleo diet for multiple sclerosis. There's a special diet as part of Dr. Bredesen's protocol. Dr. Walter Longo, who I interviewed, has mimicking fasting diet that he is trying out on a sample of 50,000 subjects. And he said one thing they had discovered was that the diet would kill cancer cells in the lab. So there's a lot going on right now in the research area of nutrition. So I think it's admirable that you're focusing on nutrition and genetics and lifestyle, which is so timely right now, and making it easy so that people can, you know, find what they want to find without, you know, I know at times I've gone on PubMed and it's almost impossible sometimes to figure out how to get to where I want to go.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Especially since the terminology is so inconsistent. Each author wants to use their own little variation on a theme. And so it's tough to find all the relevant articles.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done a lot of that legwork ourselves. And we've actually indexed them for topics like fasting or intermittent fasting and most of the other things that we've talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you'll find it helpful for yourself, but also the public, and even high school students.
And would you give us your website again, Ron?
Sure. NutriGenetics.net, or easier to remember, NutritionAndGenetics, all one word, .net.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. I know I thought it would be very interesting, and I know it will be helpful to the listeners to have this website that they can go to. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, too. Have a great day.
And you too. My second guest, Babri Orem, who is founder and CEO of Folium PX, was born in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia in 1949. Since 1982, he has owned and operated BAO Corporation in Beverly Hills, California, that manufactures and distributes Folium PX and also serves as its chief executive officer. Since its inception, its operational and financial aspects have been managed by Orem. In 1991, he was appointed as a representative of commercial affairs for the Republic of Georgia in the Western United States. And in 2001, he was appointed as the representative of the Peace Fund of Georgia, a nonprofit organization in the United States. His company also expanded its services to include wireless telecommunications and internet to the Russian Federations. Mr. Orem graduated in the former Soviet Union with a master's degree in economics in industrial planning. 3 years later, he completed schooling at the Export Institute of Israel in Tel Aviv. He is fluent in over 6 languages and has traveled extensively throughout the noted regions. Folium PX, which Mr. Orem will speak about, is a plant-based nutraceutical that was developed in the Republic of Georgia and has the purpose of cleansing free radicals in the body by inactivating them to improve the health of people previously exposed to radiation. More information is available at https://foliumpx.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Babri, and I look forward to hearing about folium that works with the immune system. Now, first, what is Folium PX?
Folium PX is a remedy. By the way, as you can hear me, as you can see, Carl, I do have an accent. It's not my mother language, and you have to bear with me, okay?
Okay.
Folium PX was made, was designed and created for the victims of Chernobyl explosion, Chernobyl tragedy, to remove the radiation out of the body.
Uh-huh.
That's, it has a long history because, first of all, the government of Soviet Union at the time, for about 30 days, would not even tell the population that that happened. So they were inhaling this radiation and lots of victims. So they created this product. It helped a lot. And then they tested on immune system. Then we tested on heavy metal removal and many other things. It works.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. And what is in it then, Babri?
They are all natural herbs among the and the natural ingredients. First and foremost is the pine parts, and then you have grape seed extract, and then you have some other herbs, which is proprietary elements, and it's a technology that counts here because anybody can take any ingredient, but what you make out of it only got notes.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I gave you H and I gave you O, how many H's it takes to make and how many O's to make your water?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, right? And they worked on it for many years and finally got it. Scientists in many different former Soviet Union republics, well, independent countries, and that's how it was created.
Mm-hmm. And what do people use it for?
People use it for removing from human body for toxic heavy metals, radiation, free radicals, and to support the immune system. And you asked me about the immune system. Immune system is the most important treatment. Supporting the immune system than any medication you can ever dream of. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? So immune system support is tested and proven on the oncology patients
mm-hmm.
who are going through chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
When during those procedures, the leukocytes, which are white cells, they drop a lot, and unless you stop on time, it can kill people because there is no immune system.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody took this, and when they stop, many times some people don't come back, don't make it back, and those who make back, it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody and everybody who took this product during those procedures, each and every one of them was supported by immune system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, each and every one of them, immune system was supported by this product.
Mm-hmm.
None of this has dropped, no.
And how safe is it to take?
How safe?
Yeah.
Very safe. No side effects. We have not had not one single side effect.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing is when people take it very first day, they might have some reaction in their head, which is a good sign. That means the product started working.
Mm-hmm.
But has not one single side effect that we know of.
Good.
For so many thousands of people have been have taken it, none of them has had any side effects.
Mm-hmm. And are there other products in the United States that are similar?
Well, there are some similar, but to compare with any of them, none of them has, that we know of, has proven to remove toxic heavy metals scientifically and clinically. None of them has... that we know of to be able to remove radiation and support the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps, you see, many products make those claims, but when it comes to proving the concept, proving the claims, we are right on the top of it.
Well, there really are a lot of products that say they build the immune system. I use something called Host Defense. It's made out of 17 types of mushrooms. Then there is a product that's made out of milk. There's several products that advertise as building the immune system. How is yours different from these?
Well, I would not object any other product's abilities to help, whichever way. But I can tell you this much. Whatever we claim, we have scientific and clinical proof. We have tested on human beings. We have tested on animals. It's all proven from A to Z.
Mm-hmm.
The others, I don't know. It's a matter of how you perceive, right?
Mm-hmm.
It may be all good, but we don't know because we haven't tested the others.
Right.
I don't know whether they have tested the principles of the other products and manufacturers, but this one is tested.
And it's been tested then on animal studies and clinical trials, is that correct?
I'm sorry, what?
You've tested then on animal studies plus clinical trials?
Animals.
Yeah.
Animals and then humans, absolutely. It's all tested on humans and animals.
Uh-huh.
On different levels and different times.
Mm-hmm.
We are testing on humans here just about every other week on people.
Mm-hmm.
We send to the third party lab. The results come in, all the toxic heavy metals. Then they take the product and we send the hair analysis again for testing. And then we compare before and after.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time, the results are tremendous. You have to see to believe it. I think I have sent you the information, have I not?
Yeah, right, yeah. And as far as it acting to remove heavy metals, it's like a detoxing?
Yes, it detoxes. It takes all the excessive toxic heavy metals. You see, we have every single mineral and metal in our body, whatever soil has.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are coming from soil physically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but they have to be in balance. They have to be in proportion. And when they come out of proportion, for whatever reason, that damages the health.
Mm-hmm.
They cause all kinds of major problems, you name it, cancer, lung disease, liver disease, kidney disease, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remove the cause, then whatever treatment they get, it stands.
Mm-hmm. And how many capsules would a person take each day of this?
Our official recommendation is 3 times, so 1 capsule each time, 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Before meal, on an empty stomach, that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
The best result, yes. 3 times a day, and one bottle consists 90 capsules, which is 1 month supply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. And is it appropriate for any age group?
Just about every age group, that's correct. Now, you don't want to give it to infant. They don't have that much accumulated in their bodies, all these toxic heavy metals, all the toxics.
Mm-hmm.
They have pure body, but when people grow, let's say they're 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and beyond, then it's perfect for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is also should be taken in consideration, for instance, for the single people who are going to get married and bring kids. What happens is if they don't detox themselves, then kids are born with just heavy metals, whatever they have inside their bodies. It becomes genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes much harder to remove. So my recommendation is for those who want to bring babies is to cleanse themselves first and then think about babies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. So, for example, for cancer patients, they would both detox any heavy metals in the body and also it would strengthen the immune system. Is that correct?
Yes, when you're talking about cancer patients, the immune system was tested on cancer patients who were going through chemotherapy and radiotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you take those that don't take this product and give them all this treatment, then the leukocytes, they drop on levels.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to stop treatment. They go so low.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody who took this product, none of them has dropped. No, zero.
Mm. Good, good. And on the label, it says to take it 1 month on and 1 month off. And why is that?
It's because, you see, according to Nobel Prize nominee Dr. Wallach, average professional athlete lives only 63 years. That's their life expectancy. Mm-hmm. It's because when they run, when they sweat, what do? They drink water. But at the same time, that sweat takes out all the minerals, all the essentials, and they don't replace with anything. And that causes problem because the metals or minerals, they become disproportionate in their bodies, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that causes problem. But if you can bring back all the essentials, if you can take all this toxic out, you never know what might happen when you detox somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It might take something else out too. We don't know. We haven't done any studies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? That will be a very expensive study to do.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, to avoid any possible disproportionate situation out of
mm-hmm.
the heavy metals,
mm-hmm.
we recommend take 1 month on, let the body regenerate again if anything is wrong,
mm-hmm.
actually,
mm-hmm.
and then take it again.
Mm-hmm. And then would the cancer patient take this through their period where they're getting the chemo and radiation and then stop, or would they take it through the period that they have cancer?
Well, no, when they take for a month, they take for some time off,
mm-hmm.
make sure that body regenerates, all the essentials might be gone, maybe
mm-hmm.
not, we don't
mm-hmm.
know, but just in case, it's better be safe than sorry, right? So,
right.
That's our recommendation.
But I'm not clear. It's through the period where they're having chemo and radiation, so that someone who wasn't having that, it wouldn't be as useful to them. Is that correct?
It will be as useful as for taking the chemotherapy procedures. Because while you're having chemotherapy or radiotherapy, if you take this product, they will stop the leukocytes to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they will replace leukocytes in real time. But after that, if they take it because they have some other immune system problem, then it will help.
So if they have cancer but they don't use chemo and radiation, it still would help them?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Because that cancer does mm-hmm. not come just like that. It comes out of some reasons. Now, one of the reasons that they have this cancer is either a deficiency of essentials or excessive toxic heavy metals, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this product takes all the excessive toxic heavy metals, and when there is a deficiency of some essentials, it replaces. That's what our tests show time after time.
And Babri, is this expensive?
What is expensive? For who? What? You know, for some people, $1 is expensive. For some people, $1 million is not expensive. Right,
mm-hmm.
but it's $74.95 suggested price, and when you calculate, you're gonna take one time every other month. I mean, 1 month on a month, 1 month off. It's one fourth of a cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
if you
mm-hmm.
will. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's. I mean, what is expensive?
Mm-hmm.
It's a relative, right?
Mm-hmm. And how can people locate this in the United States?
Well, they can go to foliumpx.com, foliumpx.com, and purchase through internet, or they can call 1-855-365-4867, which will spell 1-855-foliumpx, and
mm-hmm.
Purchase on over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
They can also find it on Amazon. And then some doctors, they have it, and
mm-hmm.
it will not be so hard to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can call us. We will be assisting them to purchase. There is no problem.
Great. Good. We have a couple minutes, Bob. Is there anything else you'd like to say then about Folium PX?
Well, what I would suggest is to take it, get yourself cleaned, because after all, everybody has a right to be healthy.
Right.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you help yourself, nobody else will.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. This is a good tool to cleanse yourself, and you know, the best way to get best medicine is to not to get sick, right?
Right, right.
So this product can prevent, can easily prevent getting very sick, because when it removes all the junk that causes the problem, you see, the Western medicine is based on treating symptoms. This product is to treating the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me get rid of the cause.
Right.
One of the causes. There can be many different causes, but one of them are toxic heavy metals and also deficiency of essential metals, immune system, and all that. And this product can help.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we have a challenge to everybody. You take the product. Before product, you take a test. We can help you on that. Then you take the product, and then you take test again.
Mm-hmm.
And if after the second test, your health was not improved, based on lab tests, we will refund every penny.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Can't beat that.
Because we do tests on through the independent labs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have our own lab.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I thank you very much, Bobby. This is interesting, and I am sure it will be helpful to those who have cancer or other chronic illnesses that have immune systems that aren't functioning up to par. So I thank you for sharing this with me and my audience.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me. So
thank you, Bobby. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I hope some of the information was useful, and I look forward to seeing you again in 2 weeks.